And now, Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN Radio.
Where the fuck is Trump?
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo, TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Give me your boom, boom.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose. What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together.
Hit the brakes, Rich.
Man, I get excited. The TV intro is different than the podcast intro. Sometimes I get excited.
Welcome,
I get excited.
Welcome to behind the scenes.
I get excited, Jalen.
Items
fine
for our IG fans.
Just go ahead and continue.
David Jacoby.
Just go ahead and continue,
one of the
Jalen.
Greatest producers, television personalities, and talent that the game has seen every now and then forgets the fact that our intro is different on the podcast.
Yep.
Than it is on the television.
I get excited
show.
About the content. I get excited to do the show. I want to do it quicker.
All right, bet.
You're slowing us down.
Let's get it.
Continue.
And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic.
And we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
We're Jalen Jacoby. What are we
going to be about? They
Happy Friday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. Have fun. Be responsible. You know I am a LeBron James stan. You know I am a die easy Laker fan. So I really enjoyed what happened last night in the Staples Center. The Lakers needed a win after losing to the Hawks right before the break. They needed a win and they got one against the Rockets. But Jalen, look at this. They were losing during the game, and you could see LeBron James, just bad body language, unhappy with his teammates. You could tell that he was frustrated.
Yep.
How frustrating is it for LeBron? Is this bad leadership from LeBron? Is this just normal basketball behavior, or is this something that he should probably fix?
I think when you've accomplished so very much like LeBron James, take it away from sports. It's like being an elder statesman or being an adult. And watching young people continue to make the same mistakes over and over again, you're going to get frustrated.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what happens with him. Like, he's one of the smartest, most disciplined, team-oriented basketball players that the game has seen.
His basketball IQ is almost too high.
Correct.
It's almost too high.
He wants
everyone to make the perfect play all the time.
Correct.
And sometimes it's like, that's not the way it works.
So like, when you swing the ball to KCP, you assume that he know to just dump it down to me.
I got Austin Rivers on me. I got Austin Rivers 150 pounds.
And then he just take a contested three over a 6'11 guy. So that's really what that is. But also for LeBron, leading by example. And so certain players know the difference when you've been around a long time and in a leadership position between the guys that need a pat on the back versus those that need a kick in the butt.
And that's not just basketball, that's life.
Correct. And so what I see from LeBron is he understands that the pulse of his team needs the latter. And that's what he's doing when he gets frustrated. You see him talking to him in a huddle. You see him sitting two or three seats down. You'll see him put his head down and stumble back on D. But ultimately, it recharges him. And it allows him to say, you know what? Okay, that's why I'm here, to take over. And certain plays embody that, like when he went down the lane and got that big-time dunk.
So he said, quote, unquote, I love our squad. Jalen. 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 We know that he would love his squad more if half y'all weren't here and Anthony Davis was.
Yeah.
Do you think he really loves his squad, or he just loves the one he's with?
He loves the one he's with. Trade deadline has passed.
Nothing you can do about it.
All-star break has passed.
Nothing you can do about it.
He's already had his week or so off. And this team has shown a level of inconsistency that can't afford for him not to show buy-in.
Nope.
When you struggle at Philly,
mm-hmm.
and then you win at Boston.
Barely.
Then you lose at Atlanta against the Rockets. They were down 19 at home.
They looked like they were going to lose that game.
Before they came back in the game they won against the Celtics, they were also trailing by a large deficit. This isn't necessarily a turning point for this team. It's going to be interesting to see if they can keep some level of consistency. And it was good for them last night as it relates to their playoff run that the Sacramento Kings were at Golden State.
And we will get to them later.
Well.
But the Rockets, they left Staples Center salty. They left the Staples Center upset last night. A lot of it had to do with the officiating. when you see some of the plays that they were concerned about, it didn't really seem like they had too much beef.
Nope.
But after the game, James Harden did not hold back with his post-game comments. Let's listen to the beer.
Scott Foster, man, he's I never really talk about officiating or anything like that, but just rude and arrogant.
You feel like it's a personal issue?
Yeah, for sure. For sure it's personal. For sure. Like, I don't think he should be able to even, you know, officiate our games anymore, honestly.
I like that he said it with his chest, but the reality of it is Scott Foster has been around a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And like players, officials do make mistakes. Like players, officials do hold grudges.
Yep.
And in basketball, there are a lot of judgment calls. So therefore, if I don't like you and or I don't respect you and or vice versa, if there's a potential travel versus not calling it, that's the benefit of the doubt you may or may not get. How about a block charge? How about 3 seconds? How about a first quarter call? How about a fourth quarter call? How about a rookie call? How about a veteran call? How about a superstar call?
Jaylen.
We just talked about this with Joel Embiid. What do you think James Harden and Joel Embiid rank amongst the league in free throws attempted and
first
made?
First and second.
First and second.
Can I say something? On behalf of the people, James Harden, I love your game. I'm not one of those people that's mad at your game. But you are complaining about officials? You, dog? You are complaining about the officiating? You? I love your game. I've been in the Drew League. I've seen you forever. Like, I'm a James Harden supporter. I'm not one of those people that doesn't like his game.
No, you 100.
But I'm saying, you should not be complaining about officiating.
Nope. Some of the plays that embody travel in today's game are plays where James Harden is doing his double step back.
Step back, step back, step back.
Yep.
And so, like, he also is a guy that creates contact driving to the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But I was watching that game, and the couple of calls that were offensive fouls were actually legit.
Yeah.
LeBron James got there and took the charge, and that was his sixth foul. That was legit.
That was legit. He was outside the restricted area. He was standing still. You bumped into him.
And also, what that exposes, and I talk about this a lot, I saw the Spurs do this to the Rockets a couple of years ago when they eliminated them from the playoffs.
Yep.
You suffocate the three line. You force the guy to drive.
Yep.
You have somebody at the hoop to help because all of the real estate between the three line and the layup.
They don't want it.
They don't want it.
And at some point you have to zig when everyone else is zagging. Like at some point, if you're the Rockets, especially in a playoff series, you're saying they're going to run us off the 3-point line and they're going to have a 7-footer in the middle to rim protect. We're just going to pull up from 10 to 8.
That would have eliminated a couple of those charges. And also, I don't know if it's L.A. I don't know if it's the Staples Center. But if I'm a member of the Rockets, in particular their coaching staff or one of their best players, we get really emotional when we get to L.A.
It is.
Okay, we had our incident with the Clippers where players were trying to get to their locker room.
Yep, and then with Rondo.
Fight with Rondo and Chris Paul. And then now you have this outburst.
Yeah.
So that should be something that they got to try to make sure that they curtail, especially if they're going to play this team in the playoffs. Yeah.
Do you think that it is because the large stage? Like, there's something about Madison Square Garden and Staples Center that players just approach it differently. Do you think that's something to do with
it? Inherently, that's why I bring it up. Because James Harden is from California.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul played for the Clippers. It almost got traded to
the Lakers.
The Lakers.
Yeah.
So that big stage creates a heightened sense of emotion that I think continues to play out in a negative light for their team.
Yeah.
Jaylen, you know I think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. You have been on wax saying they're not going to make the playoffs.
No.
Let's just take a look at where they're at now. I'm not going to overreact to one game, but they are now just a game and a half back on the Clippers, who aren't trying to make the playoffs.
No.
And the Kings, who just lost to the Warriors. Jaylen, are you still going to say into a microphone that the Lakers will not make the playoffs, because you're going to be wrong if you do?
I don't believe that they will.
No.
And it's not because LeBron James has not been playing terrific when he's been on the floor. It's not because of Kyle Kuzma's emergence like I predicted that he would as a big-time scorer in today's game, a productive player. It's that they are getting people's best shot with that Lakers bullseye on their chest and having LeBron James on their team.
Jalen Rose, if the Lakers make the playoffs, will you do an entire hour of Jalen Jacoby wearing a wig?
If I don't have a cut that day.
You don't get a cut for this show. You only get cuts for Countdown. Moving on. big game in the Eastern Conference last night.
Now I'm going to show you how the East Coast rocks.
The Celtics moved and went into Milwaukee to face the Bucks. It was a close game that came down to the very last possession, and the Bucks got the win. Defensive matchup. Both teams scored under 100 points for the game.
Get it
out.
Haven't
seen that in quite some time. What did you see about this Eastern Conference head-to-head matchup? Here is Kyrie missing the last shot.
The Bucks defend.
Yep.
And that's something that probably is not a sexy thing when you start talking about, like, what makes a team go.
Nope.
I think, but based on Giannis, who embodies positionless basketball. Like, so many times, even when I was young, we talked about guys playing five positions, especially when Magic jumped center as a rookie and ended up winning MVP when the Lakers won the championship. And then when you had these versatile players like LeBron James. But guess what? You don't want Magic Johnson or LeBron James guarding a center.
No.
And a lot of times you don't want them guarding a small, quick point guard.
No.
The Greek Freak, he's guarding five positions.
Jalen, I have to ask you a question. I have a confession to make. I know they got the best record in the NBA. I know they got an MVP candidate. I don't believe in the Bucks. Explain to me why I don't believe in the team with the best record in the National Basketball Association.
So I respect and fear the deer. You remember when they took Giannis, I started calling them Team Futuristic because I just felt like his level of versatility was going to be transcended.
Mm-hmm.
What you're used to seeing from the best team in the league is them having multiple perennial all-stars.
Yes.
And so, like, when you see on paper that the Greek Freak leads the Bucks, shout to Middleton, who was an all-star this year, well-deserved.
He squeaked into the all-star game.
And then when you looked at the Raptors, you see Kawhi Leonard, you see Pascal Siakam emerging.
Lowry.
You're like, okay, cool. But what ends up happening is you're trying to figure, is that a regular season style that's going to be able to transfer to the playoffs? Because when you look at the rosters of Philadelphia and Boston,
all-stars.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
Superstar.
You see star power.
Yes.
And you know what wins usually in the playoffs?
Star power.
And so that's why right now the Bucks and the Raptors are going to have a proving ground for their doubters. And that's what the game is all about.
I don't see the Bucks or the Raptors making the Eastern Conference Finals.
Nope.
I don't see it. And depending how the seeding works out, I mean, you never know how the seeding's going to work out, but it feels to me that the best teams in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion, are the Sixers and the Celtics.
Yep.
Well, the best regular season teams, and so there's a different style. Portland falls into this too. How yep. they're a team that hovers around 3-6 every year.
Yep.
Including last
the
year.
The last 5 years they've
but
been
But when people talk
six.
About contending, they never bring them up.
Nope.
Because it seems like they've embodied a regular season style. That's what you're saying about the Bucks and the Raptors. We'll see if they're able to prove you and I wrong. Because I actually agree with you for a lot of the reasons you said.
Jalen Rose, you have not yet officially retired from the NBA. For some reason, you feel like your phone's going to ring and someone's going to pick you up on a team. I know you feel that a little bit in your heart. Most retired athletes do. But one person associated with the NBA is definitely retired. And that's Don Nelson. And he was asked.
I'm living my best life.
He was asked about how he was handling retirement. And he gave the answer that we were all waiting for. Let's listen. To the Don.
Yeah, I've been smoking some pot. Yeah. But I never smoked when I played or coached, so I just did some nudity. But anyway, I'm doing that and I'm having a pretty good
Don,
time.
That wasn't even the question. That wasn't even the question. They're like, I know you live in Hawaii. He's like, yes, I've been smoking some pot. Also, Jalen, why he lying? I never smoked when I played or I coached. What? Don.
That's a failed test.
Are you trying to tell me that you picked up weed at 70 years old, Don?
A small percentage of the population may do such, but here's what I also appreciate. His versatility.
Mm.
Because I've been in the Golden State Warriors locker room when he was the head coach, and I promise you, and this is one of the reasons why it's changed. He had a lot more beer in that cooler than Gatorade, for a fact. And he would sip on a couple of them, like four or five.
Really?
Before he went to the press conference.
Really?
Absolutely.
He was doing four beers before the press conference?
The all-time winningest and losingest coach in NBA history.
God, I love Don Nelson.
And he also embodied playing positionless basketball. Think about guys like Manu Bowles shooting the threes.
Mm-hmm.
Don Nelson was at the forefront.
I love Don Nelson so much. But Don, don't act like you didn't smoke when you were coaching or playing. We know, Don. Don, we know. We know. Yep. It's Friday. I'm hype. Let's get it, kid. People are going.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your wife when you forget your keys at work.
Hey, hon, you get my texts? I am looking for the spare house key. Maybe I can get through the window. Ah, turns out the alarm works. Wow, it works fast. You should probably call me back.
Geico, always there for you, with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Jalen Rose, late last night, the Sacramento Kings took on what I consider to be the best team in the NBA, and they played them tight. The Kings are for real, kind of. Buddy Hield, who you may remember was traded for DeMarcus Cousins, and a lot of people laughed at it at the times, got himself some buckets last night. The Kings did not win this game, but Hield and the Kings are ahead of the Lakers. They're sniffing at the eighth spot in the Western Conference. Yeah. Is there reason to be excited if you are a Sacramento Kings?
Absolutely. The Vlad father put together a nice collection of young talent. De'Aaron Fox is a blur with the basketball, and he's explosive finishing at the hoop for a guy so miniature. Buddy Hield's become a knockdown shooter along with Bogdanovich. You got the bigs down low and Bagley and Cauley Stein playing quality minutes. So they've done a good job of putting together a collection of young talent to build around.
So they had a chance to win the game. They had the ball down by two. Buddy Hield had it from about an open shot from about 27 feet. And I heard you on Get Up talking about they need to shoot that shot, but he took it to the rim. I think passing up a 27-foot shot is a good idea.
What? He can make that shot, though. And I wasn't talking about him passing up the shot for no other reason except he took one of those earlier in the game from that same spot. It was contested by KD, ended up being an air ball. He got disciplined from his coach. So as a young player, it was still stuck in his head.
Yep.
He wasn't aggressive. Yep. He didn't pop out with that mentality that if I'm open, I'm letting this thing fly. And that's how he's been playing all season.
Well, the Warriors, when you're the best team in basketball and you've won two straight championships, you can give out some compliments to other teams. And that's exactly what the Warriors did after the game. Let's listen.
I mean, at some point, it'll definitely be, both of us in the playoffs. May happen this year. I mean, they're right there. Maybe not. We'll see. But it's coming soon.
Draymond Green says that they'll both be in the playoffs. There's some sort of hint at a Bay Area, Northern California rivalry. Do you see any of this happening?
Respectfully, that's mastering the obvious. They've outplayed all of our expectations this year. They're clearly ahead of the curve. Though that team and the Nets have been surprising to me about what they've been able to accomplish so far this year. So that's not far off.
You make a good point about them and the Nets because those are two teams that they didn't acquire big free agents. No. They didn't go out and buy themselves a roster. No. They just drafted well and developed their young players. And Vlade Divac, who you just called the Vlad father, which I love, he said that he won the DeMarcus Cousins trade and that he brought back beautiful basketball to Sacramento. And let's just take a quick look. Let's dive a little deeper into exactly what the Sacramento Kings are doing. We did some actual research for the show. They are now over 100 possessions a game, the second most in the NBA. So they're playing at a high pace. They are the fastest team in the NBA moving. They get 20% of their buckets in transition, and they have the fourth best three-point shot in the NBA. So it feels to me, if you look at those numbers, that they're embracing the league now. Let's play fast and let's hit threes. Is this the formula for the future in the league?
I think, yes, it is. And I think it worked out for both sides because they would not have been successful with only Boogie as their cornerstone because at that point they weren't making great decisions as an organization.
Yes.
We're talking about their positive draft picks now. But when you look back at like the guys like Jimmer Verdett and some of the people they were taking when Boogie was there, they weren't making quality decisions at that point. So with that being said, Boogie gets a chance to now play on a contender and possibly get a championship. That's definitely a win.
Yep.
And the Golden State and the Sacramento Kings have found their identity, which is a win-win.
Absolutely. Now, Jalen Rose, we've been saying on this program for years that eventually they will lower the draft eligibility to allow high school players to go straight into league as they did about a decade ago. Well, they took the first step to doing that today. There's been an official proposal sent to MBPA Executive Director Michelle Roberts. She will review that proposal and they will hope to lower the draft eligibility age from 19 to 18 for the year 2022. Jalen, if you didn't play college basketball, you probably wouldn't be sitting in this room right now.
Nope.
You probably wouldn't be known the way you are known.
Nope.
You might not have played in the league the way that you did as long as you did.
Nope.
But you still support 18-year-olds going into the NBA.
Absolutely.
So, as someone who college basketball was so important to, why do you feel that players should go straight from high school to league?
Choices. That's all. We live in America. And therefore, if you're a high school senior and your dream is to make it to the NBA and you want to enter the NBA draft, you should be afforded that opportunity. It shouldn't be up to anyone else to protect general managers from themselves when they misdiagnose talent and people end up being bust. That's going to happen. Also, the one thing that gets lost, however, is not all McDonald's All-Americans are created the same.
Oh.
I see so many people that when this topic comes up, you pigeonhole it to a player like Zion, and rightfully so, because you would have hoped that he had the same opportunity as Luka to go straight to the NBA. But you want to know who college has helped, for example? Look at a guy like Ja Morant. This time last year, nobody knew who he was.
No.
Now he's going to be a top five pick. And he probably wasn't ready after high school to enter the draft. But if he had that option, that should have been his choice. And so based on somebody that's had a love-hate relationship with my run in college, because there were so many amazing things that happened that I'm forever grateful for and thankful, I also am a college graduate. And usually most people that enter the draft as an early entrant, unlike myself, they never go back and get a degree.
Nope.
Basketball becomes their love, it becomes their job, and it becomes something that they pursue. Let me tell you something that's never going to be said by a young person across the country. I can't wait to get to the G League.
Nope.
Right? Yeah. Ain't nobody saying that.
When people say I'm going to the league, they don't mean the G League.
Correct. So we're only talking about a few players from high school to college that actually are physically, mentally, emotionally ready to take the leap to the NBA, those players should garner the opportunity.
So you spent a lot of years in NBA locker rooms as a rookie, as a player, and as a veteran. As a veteran, just imagine having a teammate that's 18 and a half years old.
I played on a few teams that invested in young players with a various degree of success.
Yeah.
In Indiana at the time. Right after KG hit, right after Kobe hit, you know teams are now going to try to see who's next.
The next Kobe, the next KG.
So Portland took Jermaine O'Neal. Mm-hmm. But they had so much depth up front with Brian Grant and Rasheed Wallace. There were no minutes for him. And then all of a sudden he comes to Indiana.
And blows up.
He blows up and becomes an all-star level player. And then we drafted Al Harrington, who had a long NBA career. Who's doing a great job right now in the cannabis market.
He's happy.
We also took Jonathan Bender fourth overall. Now, had we still had Antonio Davis versus Jonathan Bender the year we made the finals, maybe we go seven, maybe it's a closer series. But either way, he didn't necessarily have the success that he wanted. I went to Chicago. The first year, they had Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry. One's still in the game, one has some issues off the floor, and wasn't able to play as long as you would have hoped. So each situation is different, but ultimately everybody deserves the right to choose.
Yeah.
Well, you just gave a very articulate, thoughtful response to the question about draft age eligibility, drawing on your experience, and it was excellent. Boogie Cousins, he just gets right down to it. He was asked about college basketball, and he didn't mince words.
Knowing what I know now, college is bull. College basketball, NCAA is bull. So my advice is do what's best for you and your family. And obviously, college is
can't really, it does nothing for you at this point. You're proving your, you know, the number one pick coming out, and you're proving your talent. You know, you're ready for the next level. It's happening.
Said it does nothing for you. College basketball does nothing for you, according to Boogie Cousins. What do you think about Boogie's remarks?
I know where he's coming from, but he's pinning it to one player.
Mm-hmm.
He's pinning it to a once-in-a-generational athlete like Zion Williamson at 6'8", 285 pounds, that's getting steals, that's getting blocks for people at the three-point line, that's doing 360s in a basketball game, that's dunking with his left, that's dunking with his right. That's a physical anomaly that we have not seen. But that doesn't apply for everybody else.
Nope.
And so what ends up happening is, when you go to college, there's a level of nurturing that takes place, a value in maturity that you can't quantify and put a dollar amount on.
Nope.
Also, if you get a chance to go to an elite program, being coached by one of the all-time greatest in Coach K.
Yep.
Being on the big stage, national televised games, all of these things do help your marketability. They also help you get endorsements. They help you get appearances. And they help you boost your stock. People feel like because they just fell in love with Zion over the last couple of years, he has too many IG followers, that he was always the top prospect. That's not the case.
That's not true, yeah.
Before he went to Duke, he was fifth.
What?
Let me say that again. Before he went to Duke, he was fifth.
That's a good point.
RJ Barrett was number one. So going to Duke did increase his stock as a basketball player, but I understand where Boogie comes from because you know how I feel about the fact that student athlete is just a term that's being thrown around. It doesn't necessarily embody what's taking place in collegiate sports.
Well, the Pelicans have something going on with Anthony Davis. It seems like we talk about it every single day. Just say it, Jalen. I know you
want
to.
Look at the Pelicans fly.
Look at the Pelicans fly. Well, will Anthony Davis play or will he not play? Interim general manager Danny Ferry has come out and say he will play, but at reduced minutes. Ain't no such thing as halfway crooks.
Nope.
Do you think they should play him or not play him?
They're forced
or play him at reduced minutes?
They're forced to play him because they don't want to get fined an exorbitant amount of money by the NBA for not playing him.
Yep.
And also, in our country now, gambling is legal.
Yep. Ooh.
And what does all events, college, pro, whatever sport, have in common? A betting line.
Yep. Point spread, yep.
So now all of a sudden, you take one of the best players out of the game and off the point spread. Now you create a whole domino effect of something that you don't even want to embark on. It's different versus not having J.R. Smith play because he wouldn't necessarily move the needle in that way.
Nope.
But what I anticipate happening, minute reduce, minute reduce, minute reduce. All of a sudden, my shoulder is so sore that I might as well.
That's what's going to happen. We know where this is going to end. It's just you might as well just not play him now. Right now, it's time for News That Matters. Jalen, I want to introduce you to a gentleman who is now a world record holder. Record-breaking Ted Hastings from Ontario, Canada. Do you want to know what record he broke?
Which one?
Most t-shirts worn at one time.
What?
Let's take a look at Teddy H wearing 260 shirts
what?
To break the Guinness Book of World Records. He said the experience was, quote, generally awful. Jalen, how many shirts do you think you could wear at one time?
Three?
You're wearing three shirts right now.
I'm wearing one shirt, one undershirt, and a blazer.
That's three shirts, Jalen Rose.
What?
You know what? That's three shirts.
A blazer ain't a shirt.
Nope.
And also, for it to be so traumatic for him, he clearly wanted to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. He clearly knew what number it was going to take. And he clearly got these shirts so he can actually do this,
also,
right?
Ted, like, I've dealt with real adversity in my life. Wearing too many t-shirts is not real adversity. You know what I mean? Like, you did this to yourself, Ted. Real problems happen sometimes.
Self-inflicted wound.
You know what? I'm out on Ted. Sorry, Ted.
What?
Your record's whack. Oh, now I just got told it's for charity. Now I feel like a jerk.
You should.
It's 2019. 2019, you can't say anything
and you're
anymore.
You're very charitable.
You know what? I'm still out on Ted. You know what, Ted Hastings in Canada? Your record's whack.
You couldn't walk good after running a marathon for charity.
Geico has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Jalen Rose, not everything in the world of sports and pop culture is worth discussing. So we weed out the whack topics with a segment called Keep It Moving.
You did there.
If you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If you don't, me, you, and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
Case Keenum is shocked about the Broncos' trade for Joe Flacco.
He shouldn't be. Keep it moving.
Yeah, he should. Keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Ben Roethlisberger has 52 children.
Keep moving with the brakes.
Well, Steelers GM Kevin Colbert came to Ben Roethlisberger's defense after he was criticized by Antonio Brown, and he said the following, quote, "Ben is the unquestioned leader of this group. Like I said, he is the elder statesman and the Super Bowl winner. If our players were smart, they'd listen to him because he's been there. He's done it. He can tell them, no, guys, what you're doing is or is not good enough to do this. And honestly, I believe that can be a burden on him more often than he may like to admit. He's got 52 kids under him, quite honestly. I want them to step up and say, hey, Ben, what do I have to do? Can I do this better? What do we have to do to win a Super Bowl?" Jalen Rose, what do you think about Mr. Colbert's comments about Ben and his 52 kids?
Let me see. As the general manager, let me see who this benefits.
Okay.
Does it benefit the organization?
No.
Does it benefit the general manager's relationship with the player?
No.
Does it benefit Big Ben as a quarterback that needs to be in the locker room and have camaraderie with these players?
No.
Does it benefit Mike Tomlin, whose job it is to actually lead these guys on the field?
No.
So why make these comments?
Great question, Mr. Rose.
And so, like, here's what the Steelers are entering. Uncharted waters. You had arguably the best running back in the game, lost him for nothing. And by the way, Le'Veon Bell, trailblazer. Remember, nobody's talking about this. Le'Veon Bell, trailblazer. The first guy to get from under his situation, free agency-wise, and that tag, franchise tag, to not become an unrestricted free agent without playing an entire season. So don't be surprised, guys, don't follow that lead. Looking at you, New York Football Giants. With that being said, next year, Antonio Brown, we've seen a fiasco and how it's played out, and he does not want to be there no more. Whether they are a good football team or not, you don't continue to get better by losing terrific
players. It's also, you made a good point. It's like, Mr. Colbert, your actions should support your goals. If your goals are to win football games, then your actions shouldn't be to disrespect all of the players that you pay to play football for you. Like, if I'm one of those 52 kids, I'm like, oh, that's what you really think of me? Thank you very much. Not only did you say that off wax, you said that on wax to a reporter.
And I have to say something on wax, too. And I saw this with Kristaps Porzingis in his commentary about the Knicks.
Yep.
When at the end, he threw a subtle jab that said, stay woke. As a black man, I also noticed when AB made his commentary about Ben, he said he had an owner's mentality.
Owner mentality.
We know what word usually goes in front
of
that.
Yes, we do.
And he omitted that word. So now to hear these comments and him to use the term kids.
There's subtext to all of this.
After that. Let's you know that that exists.
There's subtext to all of this, and it's not pretty. Moving on, Paul George is asking, what went wrong?
Yeah, you better hit the brakes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Paul George, you may or may not know, is involved in this Zion Williamson controversy because Zion was wearing his sneakers, and here's what Paul had to say about it.
I don't necessarily know what happened, how it happened. Talk to Nike to see what went wrong, what happened with the shoe. You know, I take pride in that. My shoe has been a successful shoe, not only in college, but in the NBA. A lot of people been in them, a lot of people been wearing them. So I don't necessarily know. It's never happened to my knowledge before. So that's tough.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
You know why Zion has class?
What's that?
90% of people would have thrown that shoe after it busted.
Oh, yeah. Great point.
Just human nature.
Great point. Okay? I'm mad at that shoe.
And that would have been a horrible visual for the company who just malfunctioned on the biggest stage with the biggest time, big time player in collegiate basketball. And for Paul George, he alluded to it. His shoe is the most worn among the Nike crop of players in current game.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Zion to be rocking the shoe and for it to explode the way it did, it's not a good look clearly for Nike. And it's obviously not a good look for the person whose name is attached to it.
I'm going
to
say today what I said yesterday. That shoe exploding on Zion is going to make Zion Williamson more money. It sounds backwards, but it's not. His value of that sneaker deal just went up because people associate him with this incident. If he signs with Nike, Nike's got to pay him.
Blank
now.
Check.
If he goes somewhere else, that is an indictment on the product that Nike creates. If he signs with Puma, Adidas, it's an indictment. He's saying, I can't wear Nike sneakers because they will explode on me. And Nike cares about the brand. They care about the cool factor. But above all, they care about the quality of their product.
And you know what else I want to attach to your commentary about Zion, which is exactly right and well said? Paul George also makes more money.
Oh,
because his shoe exploded while Zion Williamson was wearing it. Because now all of a sudden when he picks up the phone and is negotiating with Nike, his number just went up for the exact same reasons.
Next, New Jersey will soon allow you to bet on everything, including reality television.
People already betting on anything anyway. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Thank you, Mr. Method Man.
Moving. You know we keep it moving up.
David Fizdale has diagnosed the problem with the New York Knickerbockers. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
He got a lot of young players playing a lot of video games. Keep it moving. Hopefully he gets the number one pick.
Keep it moving.
Jalen, you want to know why I'm so excited for the 2024 Olympics?
Why?
They are going to potentially introduce a new sport. Would you like to know what that sport is, Mr. Rose?
Yes.
Breakdancing may be an Olympic sport in 2024. It still needs to be approved until in 2020. But, Jalen, just thinking about this, just how far hip-hop has come from parties in the Bronx in the 70s to now potentially being part of the Olympic Games.
Because KRS-One has taught us very well.
Shout out.
Hip-hop embodies our culture. Breakdance, graffiti, DJing, and rapping into a microphone, and lastly, breakdancing. And so all of the movies I grew up watching, Beat Street, Breaking, Wild Style, it now gets a chance to be on the largest stage in the world potentially, and I embrace it and appreciate it.
I love this so much. And another thing that I've learned over my years, people in other countries love hip-hop more than us. Like, the Americans will not be favored in this event.
No.
Trust me. Other people appreciate the culture much more than we do. We take it for granted. Finally, Jalen Rose, DeMar DeRozan returns to Toronto tonight with the Spurs to take on the Raptors. Question for you. Are revenge games a real thing? Like, did you want to get more buckets on the teams that traded you than the ones that didn't?
Well, what fascinated me about that footage is Kyle Lowry was not in uniform to play. He missed that game. He was talking to DeMar DeRozan. Kawhi Leonard, who doesn't speak much, made sure he walked close enough to ear hustle their conversation and didn't say anything to either one of those guys.
Nope.
But I'm happy for DeMar in his return to Toronto. He's going to get a standing ovation. He should get a video tribute. He's done a lot for that city. He's done a lot for that team. I think it's going to be a great basketball game as well.
All I want to know is if Drake's going to be there.
He'll be there.
Is Drake going to be there?
I think
Drake's
got to.
He's got to make time in his schedule for this one.
I think he'll be there.
I'm so hyped today. It is Friday. I got a hall pass from my wife. I don't have to be home until like 8:30.
What?
You know you're getting older when you feel like being out till 8 o'clock is old.
Exactly.
It's late.
Like I'm getting it in tonight.
Like I can stay out till 8. I can stay out till 8 on a Friday.
I can stay out until 8 p.m. tonight. Woo!
Jalen. All you single ladies and men, I'm telling you, it's Friday. Don't try to wait till 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning to go meet somebody.
Tell them, Jalen. Tell them what to do.
Go to happy hour.
This is I'm one of Jalen's best lessons.
I'm trying to tell y'all.
One of Jalen's best lessons, happy hour.
Number one, when people are at happy hour, guess where they just left?
Work.
Work!
On a Friday, too?
And guess what normally happens to people on Fridays? They get paid! And they're happy!
If you're listening to this podcast and you're driving home from work, drive your car to your house and immediately hit the Uber. The second when you're in the driveway, hit the Uber and go to happy hour.
Go to happy hour.
Don't drive your car to happy hour. That's one thing.
Living in Los Angeles, as long as I did,
one thing I never understood is the parking lot of every bar is full.
And also, too, you go to the crib to recalibrate. You might want to change out of your work clothes.
Yep.
You want to pace yourself for the marathon.
Yep. Drink some water.
Yep. And get the nice little Uber. You might have some little party favors you want to put in your pocket and take with you and have them on the fly. And enjoy your weekend.
Happy hour.
Underrated.
Happy hour.
Underrated.
There's always a good happy hour.
And here's the other thing.
There's a reason they call it happy hour.
Between 5 and 8 p.m., people aren't as wasted as they are between 12 and 4 a.m.
Exactly. It just gets sloppy late at night. It gets sloppy. I had decades where I was that guy. I had decades where I wouldn't leave the house until 11:30, 11:45 because no one would be at the spot. You ever get to the spot at 11:15? Get to the spot at 11:15, it's empty. They're, sometimes I'd be like, you know, you never want to wait outside the spot for a half an hour, but you also never want to be let right in real quick. Sometimes correct. I got let in real quick, and I was like, oh, I see why they let me in real quick. Now, no one here.
Now, also, there are going to be signature parties and signature events you try to hit, and those become special. But just normal club night, eliminate that from your schedule. Enter happy hour.
Happy hour. Drink specials. People are excited, especially on a Friday.
And you know what else you can do at happy hour? Eat normal food.
Yes. No one's eating at 1 in the morning. It's great. It's great. And also, you have the rest of your night. Get yourself a little excited. Get a little buzz on. It's 8 p.m. You know, you're being responsible. You wake up and you do something with your Saturday.
And also, if you happen to meet somebody that you like and vice versa, and y'all leave a happy hour
at
7 p.m., instead of 4 a.m.
You got hours and hours and hours and hours, hours and hours of time to play.
Yes.
Hours of time to play.
Yes.
And it unlocks your Saturday, as you said.
No doubt about
it. Jalen always likes to unlock his days.
No doubt.
I never used the term unlock.
It makes sense now.
Until I met Jalen Rose.
You see
Explain to the people what unlocking your day means.
You front load your schedule. So I would do a lot of things on one day. So say today's Friday. I'll jam pack my life. I'll do whatever I need to do, personally, professionally, whatever I need to do, Friday and Saturday, in this 12 to 14 hour period. And then when I'm finished on Friday, I'm also finished on Saturday. And I love that.
Perfect. When you got three little kids, no days are unlocked. All days are locked. All of my days are locked up. I got excited because I don't have to be home until 8:30. That's where my life is at right now.
That's all.
I think I might watch some NBA basketball. It's my cheat day. Steak. I might have a steak tonight, Jay.
Ooh.
You know what I like to do?
Ooh.
Here's my order at the steakhouse. People make fun of me for this. My friends always make fun of me. I like the small filet. I like the petite filet. Just give me a little 7 ounce, 8 ounce filet. That's all. I don't want the big, huge 22-ounce steak.
You got to get a little Cajun on that thing. You got to give them the butterfly out a little bit.
I like the sides. If I have a 22-ounce steak, I'm not going to enjoy the sides the same way. I like an appetizer. I like multiple different dishes.
And also, it's a lot different having 7 ounces.
You have a stroke?
Yeah, because I want to make sure I say this. I want to make sure I say this because it's really important. As somebody that sparingly eats beef and pork, but I indulge. It's a lot different having 7 ounces of cow sitting on your stomach 12 hours later versus 20 ounces.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because that thing start moving once it get over 10 ounces.
You know what I like too? And I never ever order this drink anywhere but a steakhouse. Like for me, certain drinks are environmental. I'll never ever ever ask for a rum and coke in New York City. Never. But find me in Puerto Rico, rum and cokes all day. Find me in a beach environment, rum and cokes all day. And to me, at a steakhouse, you know what I order? Martinis. Because I took a bartending school. I don't know if you know this about me. One thing you don't know about Jalen Rose is he's a chauffeur. He has a chauffeur license. One thing you don't know about David Jacoby, I went to bartending school when I was 22 years old, and I learned how to make a martini. Do you know what martini is made of? vodka.
Vodka, and whatever color you put
vodka,
in it.
More vodka, and more vodka.
Whatever sweetness
and
you put in it.
Two drops of vermouth. That's how you make a martini. It's basically cold vodka, two drops of vermouth. That's a martini.
And here's another thing.
What's that?
Hey, guys.
What's that?
No martini glass.
Yes, rocks. Rocks.
No martini glass.
Yo, I'm going the other way with this.
You're going to spill it. You're going to spill it.
That's one of the problems.
I am not trying to spill my beverage. That's the reason.
They make the strongest drinks in the most spillable glasses.
Correct.
And also, I dare you to have a martini and walk across the room. Go ahead.
Correct.
Go ahead.
You're going to spill it.
Go ahead. Try a martini at a nightclub when you're not sitting down.
See, initially when I said that, I'm pretty sure a lot of people felt like, oh, I think I'm so masculine.
You're just a tough guy.
I don't want to spill my drink.
It's just functional, really. Yeah. It's just a functionality thing. Like, you cannot have a martini in your hand and walk across the room. You just can't. It cannot happen.
And one other thing, whether you enjoy a happy hour, whether you're at a steakhouse, whether you find your way at a signature club, don't be that person that leaves the bathroom with your feces everywhere.
What are you talking about?
Don't be that person.
This conversation took a real left turn.
No.
What is
happening?
We lost control of the show.
How many times have you walked in the bathroom?
Darrell Revis.
How many times have you walked into a bathroom and you're like, clearly another adult walked out of this stall knowing that they either peed everywhere or left their feces in and around the toilet? Does that frustrate you?
Jalen, around the toilet?
Yeah, on the rim.
I got 3-year-old babies. There's nothing around the toilet.
I'm talking about when you're in public, when you're out.
No one wants to know about feces. Like, just flush the toilet before you leave the
bathroom. Just clean up after yourself when you're in public. That's all I'm saying. Clean up after yourself.
If you sprinkle when you tinkle, please be neat.
I hate when I walk into a bathroom and it looks like other people feel like nobody else is going
to
come in there.
My son does that. He's only 5 years old. If we go to a public bathroom, he'll open one stall, be like, nope. Open another stall, be like, nope. And then go to another one.
Correct.
He's like, look in there, daddy. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, look in there. Are you using that bathroom?
No.
Big shout out to Quincy and godmother Zoe, who took him last night. Had him up until 11:47.
11:47. Did he go to school today?
No, it's a President's Week. I don't know how that happened. New York City, they will have no school for no reason in New York City. They had the Lunar New Year off. The Lunar New Year. Do you know what the Lunar New Year is? You have no idea.
No.
Yeah, they have that day off.
I do know. When
they don't get President's Day off.
Let me get this right. When the sun crosses the moon.
Don't even try. Don't even try. Kyrie, don't even try. If you call 985-80-JALEN,
985-80-JALEN,
you can leave us a message. And if you leave us a message, Reggie will maybe listen to it. Definitely not edit it down.
Definitely
not edit it down.
Nope.
And put it on the podcast just like this. Let's listen to a 90-second voicemail.
Unfiltered.
Yo, what up? What up? It's your boy, Big Crown.
Yes.
Shout out to the crowd, Reggie. Also, shout out to DJ Money Cut for the t-shirts. Good looking on that, bro. Appreciate you so much. But yo, I got a theory, man. I'm wondering, okay, we know that Zion shoe exploded. I'm wondering if it exploded because he was wearing a guard type shoe. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't wearing a big man shoe like a LeBron. If he was wearing a pair of LeBrons or something like that, more of a structural shoe, it maybe would not have exploded. I'm just wondering. And also, got another theory. Could Zion be LeBron's first player that he signed under Team LeBron as far as, you know, his shoes? You know, you got Team Jordan, he had Ray Allen, he had all the players under his shoe. Could Zion be the first player that LeBron signed under his shoe imprint? Let me know what up.
Big Crown is back.
It's always great when family members check into the program.
I think Big Crown, DJ Money Cut, like there's certain people, Finger Roll Jones,
executive Goran, producers, associate
just like,
producers.
Certain people, it's like Uncle Mar. I've never met you, but I love you. Big Crown is one of those, the greatest mail carrier in the history of mail carrying. Rain, sneet, hail, snow, Big Crown got you.
That's why eventually on this program, I want to make sure we do a segment about what I'm going to say.
Underappreciated professions. Mail carriers. Getting it done. However, being in mail carrying is a little bit like being on television. Like, we're about to be obsolete. We all know where this industry is going. Like, snail mail, it is going to be 2035. I don't know if snail mail is still happening.
I disagree.
You don't think in 2035 you'll still be getting bills in the mail? You'll still be getting your phone bill in the mail instead of digitally? You still feel that way?
Well, there are always going to be things that need to get mailed to
you. Of course, packages. Yeah, of course, packages. But actual snail mail, like getting a bill or a check in the mail.
The government will continue to mail us
stuff. They wrote a letter the other day.
Exactly.
I opened
and read it. And said they were suckers. Shout to the OG, Chuck D. Public Enemy.
Shout out.
So Big Crown basically asked the question, do I think Zion was more susceptible to being injured because he was wearing the shoe of someone with a body type like Paul George versus one of like LeBron James? And here's what I initially said about this entire topic. I've been at the University of Michigan, and the Nike rep has come to the locker room, and they pulled out a big duffel bag of shoes, just poured them on the floor, and thought we were going to jump around like high school, like fifth graders. We were like, these are right. They're not real. Nah.
These are right.
He's okay.
They're not real.
Nah. Okay. He's all right, but he's not. You know what else, guys? We appreciate you guys taking the time and energy. We're forever grateful that you came today. We're not wearing none of these. And so they went back to the lab. And then they came back with the Barclays. They came back with the Huaraches. They came back with the Deion Sanders. They came back with the Bo Jacksons. And then we picked the Huaraches, and they didn't even want us to rock that. It's become a phenomenon.
So the Huaraches were so weird. Like, I remember first seeing them being like, are these even sneakers?
Correct.
Like, what is this?
They weren't considered a basketball shoe, yet no. You saw people with the body type of Chris Webber and Juwan Howard still being able to rock them.
Yep.
So here's back to the original point of the question. If I'm Zion, or I'm any big-time collegiate athlete, you don't have much leverage on what you wear, what brand you wear.
No.
But you do have leverage on what you wear.
Yes.
Okay? So therefore, I'm not rocking anything but Jordans. I want the $450 shoe. I don't want the $200 shoe.
But I think that Big Crown does have a point, because I'm a LeBron stan. I pay attention to all of LeBron's sneakers that come out. And you know what? I don't wear them.
They're heavy.
They're heavy. They're like Hummers. They're not sports cars. They're big, doofy, heavy Timberland sneakers, except for the latest two. The last 2 years, the 15s and 16s, those ones are fly and light. The best basketball shoes I've ever worn are the 15s.
True story. Playing against LeBron in Toronto with his first pair.
I remember those, yep.
Of LeBron's. I was rocking those. And he got a career high, 55 on us.
Really?
He sure did.
You are a bucket magnet.
But you're right, because I gave him 30, okay. And we won. Yeah, how about this? We got to do this on this show the one time, too. You know how Jay-Z once said, I'm your favorite rapper's favorite rapper?
Yep.
I almost guarantee the elite players of my generation, I at least dropped 30 on each one of them.
We're going to have to
time.
Do that. We're going to have to do the research on that. It's probably true. But you didn't stop anybody from getting any buckets either.
Depends on what team I was on. Depends on my role. When, in 1998, in the Eastern Conference Finals, Larry Bird pulled me to the side. He said, if MJ score on you two or three straight times, I'm taking you out. But guess what I was doing? Picking up 94, denying them. I'm trying to stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I go to Indiana. It's kind of still my role to play D as I start to get older. I get to Chicago. Young fellas got to play D. I need to get buckets. You know, they need my buckets right now.
Do you know what? It's hard pressed. You'll be hard to find a game in which Jalen scored less than 10 points. It's also hard to find a game in which Jalen had a highlight. Like,
Correct.
You're not a highlight scorer.
Correct.
Like, you're not doing fancy. You're not dunking on people. You're not doing fancy passes. Nothing crazy. No crazy crossovers. Just 8-foot fadeaway left-handed off the glass buckets.
You know
just
what it's
little
called?
8-foot mid-range buckets.
I'm going to tell you what I always said in my head. Fundamentally sound.
Mm-hmm.
I hear on these guys.
Imbalance.
Oh, smaller guy?
Yeah.
UCLA cut, post, left shoulder, bucket, right shoulder, hook, all day. Bigger guy? Between the legs, hezzy. Oh, you get on your heels? I'm pulling. Catch and shoot all day. Efficiency is what I tried to get.
But no as highlights. Related. Like, we've been doing this show for 8 years. Not Google. I go to YouTube. I'm like, let me see some Jalen Rose highlights. They just don't exist.
A couple exist, but your point still stands it's for true. Somebody that's played as much basketball as I have.
13 years? Like, you expect to have, like, that Iverson crossover on Jordan moment, that signature, do you remember that Jalen Rose play? There is no, like, signature Jalen Rose play.
And also, footage was different then. Yep. Like, I remember against Miami, I don't think it was against Dwayne Wade, but I remember being on the right wing, going behind the back with a dude reach and hit the turnaround J. But there was no footage really of that on, yeah, like, no YouTube Twitter, no, or yeah, social media.
Yeah. Now, like, you don't even have to watch the game, because if you are on Twitter, if you're on IG, the highlights come to you so quickly.
Think about it like this. I played in the league from 94 to 2007. When did Twitter start?
Ooh, I would guess 2008, something like that, 2006.
There you go.
I was on Twitter early. I remember me and Kevin Wilds being like, yo, Bill Simmons, you should really try this. He's like, nah. It's like, Bill, like, I know you.
I know now you got like 7 million followers.
Yeah,
like,
you be good at this. He's like, this is kind of built for you. He's like, nah, that's corny. I'm not doing it. And next thing you know, he blew up.
That's how I felt about IG. For a long time.
A long time. Yeah,
I've only been on IG for 1 year. I've been on IG for 1 year. I was determined not to join.
Do you know what you said all the time? I'm not a photographer. Like, Jalen, I know you're not a photographer, but it ain't about that. You ain't got to be any Leavovitz to be on IG. Uh-oh, Jalen, we have some news that is too hot for TV. Hit it, Reg.
Too hot for TV.
This is from TMZ, and I'm just going to read you the report, Mr. Rose. Breaking news, Robert Kraft, suspect in prostitution sting. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft has been named by police as a person involved in a recent prostitution human trafficking sting in Operation Jupiter, Florida. Officials say the women accused of running the sex trafficking ring operated out of local spas, which touted themselves as
rub and tub.
Massage parlors. The investigation took roughly 8 months, and officials say they've identified more than 100 men suspected of being Johns. Robert Kraft, suspected in a prostitution sting.
So, first and foremost.
What?
He's going to have a problem probably at home because I think he's married.
He's got a girlfriend, a very young lady who's an actress.
Oh, okay. For public consumption, this gets tricky because prostitution is legal in certain places.
Not many. In other countries, in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Correct.
Outside Las Vegas, Nevada.
And it's not legal, clearly.
It's not legal in Jupiter, Florida.
He's been participating.
Nope.
But here's what I've noticed about Robert Kraft that we've talked about recently.
Yes.
By the way, an amazing owner and terrific champion that's brought 6 chips to the New England area.
Which team are you on, Robert?
The thing that
Robert,
I noticed about him,
Mr. Kraft,
he's been doing a lot of switch hitting.
Which team are you on?
At one point, he's talking about politics, and he's leaning that way that has people like me looking at him sideways.
He kind of red hat-ish.
And he even gave, you know, away a championship ring to somebody that, you know, had me scratching my head a little bit. I can't front.
And then
on the other hand, he hanging out with Meek Mill, wearing championship chains.
Dancing with Cardi B. And here's one thing about this story is me and my wife joke about this all the time. There are certain massage parlors that me and my wife walk by, and I'm like, I'm about to get a massage right in there. And she's like, no, you're not. And we all know what those ones look like. There's legit spas that will treat you to a nice spa day, robes, tea, environments, like good smells. And then there's some where you're like, wait a second. What's going on behind that door?
I didn't make this term up, but it clearly is what those places are called. And I just said it. I'm going to say it again. Rub and tug. That's what they're called. The massage places that you're describing.
Everybody enjoy your weekend. You know we will. We'll be back on Tuesday. You know we got a day off on Monday, right?
We'll be back.
You know we got a day off on Monday. You don't even know. You live one day at a time.
What?
I know you. I know Michelle sends you your schedule for that day, and that's all you live.
I didn't.
That's all you live. You can check out Jalen 8 o'clock on ABC Countdown. He'll have a fly outfit. He'll have a fresh cut because he cares about Countdown. He doesn't care about this show. We'll be back on Monday, on Tuesday. Why does that care?
We're not done. Got to give the people.
My little guys.
Speaking of the Hobbits, let's talk about LeBron James.
All I care about is my nipples. Seriously.